I don't know if you're familiar with the comedian Harry Enfield. And two of his characters, Kevin and Perry. Kevin and Perry are two teenage boys trying to navigate the trials of adolescence and puberty. They're desperate to be popular, they're desperate for girlfriends, and they're desperate to impress one another. And they're both very easily influenced by teenage culture. Many of the sketches involving these two takes place in Kevin's house with his long-suffering parents present. In one sketch, Perry has been up to Manchester to see the band Oasis in concert. I was tempted to show the clip, but it's not quite suitable for church. It's not far off, but it's not quite okay for church. Perry walks into Kevin's house clearly heavily influenced by his trip. He's wearing sunglasses, a big baggy jacket, and he's speaking in a northern accent. "All right, Kevin, how are you?" And Kevin starts trying to copy him, but he can't quite get it right. And he goes through Yorkshire, Scotland, Northern Ireland, and oddly, a deep Bristol accent as he tries to mimic Perry. However, as soon as Kevin's mum walks in, who Perry has a little bit of a crush on, he takes off his sunglasses, he stands upright, and he starts speaking in his very normal accent, his respectful voice. If you cast your mind back to when you were a teenager or a young adult, what were some of the influences in your life? Pop groups, a particular film or television series, a teacher or parents, friends and peers at school or college. And as you've gone through your life, what has influenced you? The way you think, the way you behave, your political views, your understanding of scripture and of faith. So this morning, the theme for our sermon is the Holy Spirit influences. The Holy Spirit influences. Have you been influenced by unhealthy and unhelpful things, either consciously or subconsciously? Who or what have been the really positive influences in your life? Those things or people who helped you grow, who helped you to mature, to develop, who helped you to achieve. Have a think for a moment. Don't shout out, but just have a think for a moment and consider some of the things and people that have influenced and continue to influence your views, your opinions, your behaviour, both positive and negative. I'll give you 10 seconds or so. I don't want you to shout. I just want you to bring to mind those influences in your life. One of the things that I used to warn young soldiers about was the subtle and not so subtle influence of the internet. Particularly if you access news through your phone or a tablet or a computer. I can remember, as I'm sure most of you do as well, when you'd watch the 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock news and you'd get an hour of unbiased news, perhaps with some neutral analysis of what was going on. Today, all of our news is completely polarised. And it doesn't matter if it's mainstream, old school media, or if it's a newer online service. They don't just present to you the news, but they present it to you in a biased way, and they try to tell you how you should think about it. Look at how the death of Charlie Kirk was reported by different agencies. Look at the state visit of Donald Trump to the United Kingdom. The wars in Palestine and Ukraine, the issue of immigration. The news now doesn't just try to tell you what's going on. It tries to make you form a strong opinion about it and to be very angry and fearful of those who disagree with you. Remember, perfect love casts out all fear. If you're afraid of something or someone you see in the news, you may want to pray for the Holy Spirit to guide and influence your thoughts on that matter. What's worse, if you do use a phone or computer, it learns the things you like, and it shows you only the news and opinions that it thinks you want to see, without giving you a rounded view of world events. My phone knows that I'm in my mid-40s, knows that I'm a father, knows I'm a Christian, knows I'm ex-army, it knows I like mountain bikes, and so it tailors my news feed with those things in mind. It's really quite dangerous. You'd quite often find in army break rooms, where all the troops go to rest and relax when it's naffy break, a big TV. And that TV would often be showing Russia Today or Al Jazeera, just to make sure that the soldiers knew what was going on from a broader sense of the world. Not saying these are right, that these things being reported are the way it is, but just making sure the soldiers had an understanding that everything they see is propaganda. Everything they see has an underlying motive. And so the onus on us as grown-up adult Christians is not to rely on just one or two sources of information that we particularly like or perceive as reliable, but that we deliberately seek out news and views from other sources, including those that differ from ours. The same is true as we look at the scriptures. We may have a favourite Bible translation, or a favourite commentator or preacher, a favourite Christian YouTube channel, or a favourite study Bible. But it's important that we look at differing views and opinions on what the Bible says and what it means. You don't have to agree with everything you read or hear about your faith. You don't even have to agree with everything that I say from the pulpit or during our Bible studies. But Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind." As Christian disciples, we are supposed to engage our intellects, to engage our powers of reason as we interact with our faith and with the world around us. As we learnt last week, wisdom, knowledge, and discernment are all gifts of the Holy Spirit. When I asked you a moment ago to think of the things that influence you, was one of your answers the Holy Spirit? I hope that it was, given that we've had 3 months of sermons on the Holy Spirit. And whilst I haven't previously in this sermon series used the word influence in relation to the Holy Spirit, I do hope that you allow him to influence you. As we've thought about the Spirit's roles and ministries, have you invited him to be an influence in your life? Nowhere is the ministry of the Spirit seen more clearly than in the four gospel accounts of Jesus' ministry. Jesus was the one human being who truly allowed the Spirit to influence everything he did, everything he said. The one human who truly walked in step with the Spirit. The Gospels write that the Spirit led Jesus. Jesus proclaimed that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And John the Baptist testified to having seen the Spirit descend upon Jesus. And so if we want the Holy Spirit to be an influence in our lives, the best place to start is with the four gospel accounts of Jesus' life. His teaching, his attitudes, and his behaviour. I do feel like I'm repeating myself a little bit here, but the primary ministry of the Holy Spirit is to point people to Jesus Christ. this passage from Ephesians that Sally read a bit earlier, Ephesians 5:1-20, may not seem as if it has much to do with the word influence. Paul, writing to the Greco-Roman church in the city of Ephesus, doesn't mention the word influence. But having lived in Ephesus for 3 years, Paul is all too aware of the things that influence them. He lists several things that are all caused by the influence of the cultural environment in which the Ephesian Christians live. Not dissimilar, it has to be said, from the influences that we come under in our culture. Sexual immorality, greed, obscenity, foolish talk, disobedience, getting drunk on wine are all things that it's so easy to fall under the spell of because of the influence of our culture. The influence, Paul says, of darkness. Once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. The world, our culture, says that having multiple sexual partners is great. It says that pornography is fine. And the Spirit of God says no. These are evil, dark things that children of the light have no business being anywhere near. Physical love, sex, is a gift from God, but it is most appropriately enjoyed in a loving, consensual, loyal marriage. Those of you who were here a while ago, cast your mind back to when we explored the book of Acts and we thought about Paul's time in Ephesus. As Christianity became more popular, the local traders rioted because they were worried it would take business away from them. They relied on tourism from the temple of Artemis. And if people started believing that Artemis wasn't a goddess, it would take business away from them. They were more worried about money than the truth. Greed, our culture, and the Ephesian culture said, is great. Earn more money, gain more property, have more stuff. At the expense of others, it's survival of the fittest. Dog eat dog, it's a jungle out there. Not so, says the Spirit. Sell everything and give to the poor. If someone doesn't have a shirt, give them yours. In the early church, as recorded in Acts, no one claimed any property as their own, but they shared as others needed. And that's not just a New Testament principle, but the same Spirit was at work in the Old Testament. Leviticus 19. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself. For you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. There's a few people in so-called God-fearing countries who need to take a careful look at Leviticus 19. Not only does Paul recognise the cultural influences, the things of our dark world and evil days that we should try to avoid, but he also recognises the influence that other people can have over our lives. In the army, you could tell the young soldiers whose family and friends supported them being in the army and those who didn't. If a young soldier went home at the weekend and hung around with people who were negative about the army, they would come back negative and depressed and uncommitted. Those whose family and friends supported them being in the army were positive and happy and committed to being in the forces. And the true is the same is true of us as Christians. Who do you hang out with? Who do you socialise with? I'm not saying don't socialise with people who aren't Christians, but I am saying don't socialise with those who are actively anti-Christian and those who behave in un-Christian ways. And it's not just me saying that, for Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, 6 and 7, "Let no one deceive you. God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them." It's worth reviewing who we spend time with, what we watch, what we consume through the media, through our TVs, through our phones, through our computers. Are we asleep? Dead in the darkness of this world? Influenced by culture and people who, as Paul wrote to another of his churches, this time in Philippi, their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Instead, says Paul, be careful how you live. We must take some responsibility for the influences in our lives. Be filled with the Spirit. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.